I'm an addict, and my name's Elesta. And for the grace of God, in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm clean today, and I'm ecstatic. I'm trying to keep that thing all together, you know what I mean? Because I just really, look, let me tell you something, faith in the door. Narcotics Anonymous is the best thing that ever happened to me. Listen, I got to Narcotics Anonymous January 15th, 1988, broken, battered, and bruised. No hopes, no dreams, no aspirations. Listen, dying looked more better than living. Listen, I got here the day before I died. And I'm not just saying that. That is my reality. I had planned January 14th, 1988, my suicide date. I was taking myself out of here because I didn't want to exist one more minute the way that I was. And listen, I came from a religious background, so I didn't, all that God stuff. My mom said that the way I was living at 12, I was going to hell. So I had made the decision at 13, and was my biggest secret that kept me in bondage for a long time, because I had made a decision, I'm going to serve the lower power, and I'm taking all y'all with me. So when I did say, God, can you please help me? I said, if you is one. One thing for certain, I did not believe that he would answer me. I'm going to tell you the truth. All I knew that I just couldn't go on anymore. No more. You know, I got to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I think one of the things I want to do is welcome you if you're new. You want to know the real deal? It was the last thing I wanted to do was stop using dope for real. I just wanted to stop using one particular substance. Okay. I didn't even have enough sense to know that all drugs was my problem. You know what I mean? I want to welcome you if you knew, and you might have been suffering like I was suffering, because my topic is joy and pain. I want to talk about the pain so I can get to the joy. You know what I mean? Because the pain I'm talking about, and I ain't talking about the pain of active addiction, because I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're anything like me, you probably was a coward, and you probably used dope or used drugs like I did, so I wouldn't have to feel nothing. It was after coming to Narcotics Anonymous I began to suffer the pain of withdrawal. I don't hear a lot of people talk about the suffering for real, for real. They talk about the suffering of active addiction. Yeah, I suffered that, but most of it I couldn't feel because I was numb all the time. I'm talking about after getting here and y'all telling me I can't cop no more. And I had to begin to feel the guilt, the shame, the remorse, the low self-esteem, the low self-worth. I'm talking about real suffering and telling me I can't use. I'm talking about the dilemma that they talk about when we do recover. That daggone thing hurt. I don't know about nobody. Look, it says either you suffer the pain of withdrawal or you go back to using. They say we all face the same dilemma. I don't know if anybody know what a dilemma is. Listen, I ain't want to go back there and I ain't want to go there neither, because both of them was worse than the evils, and I ain't know how to live this new way. I couldn't even believe that I could conceive to get this, and I damn sure wasn't trying to go back. So I'm in a dilemma. And I'm in a seat. And I'm going through something. I thank God for my predecessors who was in here talking about the pain of withdrawal. They was helping me to identify what I was suffering with. Because I had no idea that I was that damn sick. Listen, I just thought, you know, I got to Narcotics and I'm 26 years old, out the house. I was blessed not to suck nothing. I was blessed not to jump out of anybody else's cars. When I got here, listen, don't get it twisted. I came out the house was living hell. But I had no idea what they was talking about. All I wanted to do was stop using one drug. I thought that if I stopped using one drug, you know, I'd be all right, I'd be on top again. I got to start talking about you can't use nothing. I got devastated. What you mean nothing? I ain't never lived without nothing in my time. I can't smoke no weed and come from the earth. You know what I mean? What? What's wrong with these people? I didn't ask for all this. You know, after we get clean a little while and we start, the real me start kicking in, and I think that, you know, I can stop when I want it again. You know how we forget that I couldn't stop? That happened so quickly, like in the first 30 days. Hey, I got this now. You know what I mean? I ain't had nothing. The longer I stayed clean, the worse it got. And I thank God that I was listening to the life-saving, transforming message of Narcotics Anonymous when I had to make the choice. See, because I didn't know, I knew I was sick from using, but I had no idea that I couldn't live without drugs. Absolutely not. That was a clean choice. You know, a lot of people say their bottom was their last run. That was not my bottom. My bottom after coming to Narcotics Anonymous when I realized when the 10% was gone. How many people go to the doctor and they tell you that your symptoms is your problem? I got here, y'all start telling me I got low self-esteem. I said, dang, ain't nothing wrong with me. What? I don't have no low self-esteem. I'm cute. What's wrong with these people? Oh, no, this was the real joint. Self-hatred. Oh, I don't have no self-hatred. I love myself. You know, they told me people who use dope don't love themselves. It's a state of self-hatred for them to keep mutilating my only gift. My only gift. I got here, I didn't even appreciate life, breath, or strength. So now I'm in the seat, struggling with life, breath, and strength. I really want to go back. I don't even think I can conceive to do what I see y'all doing. See, I wasn't looking at the jury. I felt something in your continents that I didn't have. And I never had it. You know, some people tell me they had it. I never had no continents. Never. I'm talking about living life with no instructions. Living life with no self-worth. Living life with no dignity. I didn't have none of that, but I would front like I did. Now, y'all asking me to admit the fee. I'm talking about the real pain of withdrawal when the drugs is gone and no program and the addict don't really want to work the program. Listen, they always talk about when the addict work the program, lost dreams. Well, when the addict don't work the program, it's dangerous. And I was in danger. And I don't know about nobody else. I did not. One thing was certain, too. I wasn't going back. I don't care what nobody say. Especially after I sat in here for a little while and heard how if you go back, you're going to be sucking them things. I could not suck those things. No, I came from a molestation. I wasn't sucking nothing if I didn't feel like it. And guess what? I didn't feel like it. No, they talk about all that jumping in and out of cars and all that stuff. I said, oh, my God, I never. Anybody, people know me, know I'm not lying. I came in here all dressed up, hair done, jewelry on, like, what? I'm high. But on the inside was a shaggy, insecure person. Even after getting here for months, still wanting to die. Couldn't even exist. I'm talking about real pain. Didn't even like living in my own skin. Hated it. I didn't think I would ever get to the point that I am at today. That I didn't need something outside of me, some person, some place, or some thing to fill the emptiness that nothing could ever fill. I'm talking about being a real pain. Because I know some people in here in that same pain right now. I want to welcome you, newcomer. And don't get in here in front like some of us. You hurting? It's all right. We're going to love you until you learn to love yourself. That's what they did for me. They didn't tell me to front. They didn't tell me to act like I was recovering. They told me, go ahead and suffer, baby. We're gonna put our arms around you, and we're going to walk with you. And that's what they did, because I was like, these people's crazy. They is asking for too much. I don't know what y'all withdrawal process was like. It tore the fur off of me. Like, this is, look, and I can't use. The thing was, the hardest part was that I couldn't. I thought the most powerful thing that I learned in Narcotics Anonymous, if you don't pick up, you wouldn't get high. I couldn't conceive that. What the hell is they talking about? Look, where I come from, what do you mean don't pick up? I can do a little something, just a little something, you know, to ease, to get the edge off. I learned in Narcotics Anonymous that one is too many, 1,000 is never enough. You either suffer lesser, you suffer now, or you suffer later. See, I didn't know that pain was a gift. I didn't know that the freedom that I was going to get in the beginning, if I allowed myself just to go through it, that the pain would push me to a place of hope. I had no idea I was got to get some hope up in the joint. I was kicking and screaming. Scratch Lord Rocky was like, I was out there. Anybody know I'm Rocky. What? I'm fighting. I'm not. I don't surrender. I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know I had to surrender to the fact that I had a disease. Listen, I didn't even know what I was suffering from. I thought I had a drug problem. Every time people talk about you got a disease, I say, oh. I can't. Dad, listen, I had already messed up my life with drugs. Now you want me to cop to having a disease of addiction? What is wrong with y'all? So I thank God for the gift of sponsorship. I ain't had to dance with all y'all. I just had to dance with one somebody. And I thank God the one that God sent me knew what they was doing and why they was doing it. Because I ain't had one of them stupid sponsors. Just stay clean, do what you want to do. Damn, you just trying to kill me? Just don't use. Do you know it's impossible for an addict like me to just don't use? I had a sponsor say, get in the front row. Shut your mouth. Get the book and get the dictionary and get the reading. You need to transfer everything you know about living into this new way. And I got the book with almost 90 days clean, and I got, they should call me Microwave. Microwave this, 20 years later, I'm still here. Microwave, what? I needed to trade my stuff in. Man, I was living life with no instructions. I was hurting and killing. Listen, I got in touch with it. I was a serial self-murderer. I was devastated. Why are you looking at me like that? You want to? Must be like, damn, no, you too. Yeah, you know, the one gonna kill something. Yeah, I'm killing you. Yeah, you just like me. This is a process of identification. So if you think you were just getting high, I'm about to bust your stuff up. They bust my stuff up, so your stuff getting busted in this meeting. You know, the biggest lie I ever told myself that I had to tell myself so I could continue on the road of self-destruction that I love to use drugs. How can you love something that's killing you? I thank God for North Carolina. They corrected the corrupt. My thing was corrupt. I love to get off. You sound like a damn fool. What, you love to kill yourself, Lester? They say addiction is such a slow cutting in life that you lose the power to do anything about it. How you gonna love murdering yourself? See, when I didn't know, I could get away with it. But once you know, you can't go back to not knowing. I said, they is really messing with my life. This was the hit, though. I'm going to tell you where the hit was. It's a hit that goes on in here. People need to get the dictionary and look at what a hit is. It don't mean getting high. That's right. A hit is an occurrence. Something happened for this addict. Something occurred. Y'all put a hit on my disease. Thank you. I needed some. Listen, I never heard the stuff that I hear, that I know. Everything that I know, I learned from somebody or in the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. Everything. I traded all my stuff in y'all. If you want your stuff from Active Addiction, you can have it. I don't want none of it. I don't want it. I don't want none of it. I don't care what nobody says. I just don't want it. I don't want even no parts of it. It might, you know, it might infect my stuff, Thomas, and I ain't trying to get infected again. I'm talking about, I don't walk around no walking infection. You can have it. Mm-mm. I don't know if you, see, I got waxed in the process. I got waxed right here. All my great ideals. I used to think I earned deceit. What an illusion. Yeah, if I had a got what I deserve, I would have got a casket. See, I came in here and y'all began to tell me the truth. That I was slowly committing suicide in Lester. Wasn't no fun in that. You got people talking about when it was fun. That is the form of denial. Fun what? How can it be fun when you murdering your most greatest gift in Lester? How can it be fun when you ain't got no self-worth and dignity? How can it be fun when you killing what God has gave you? Boy, I had to come out the now because you just, they was pulling the chains. Come on, let me have something. Because you know we want to have something. Don't go that deep. I'm so glad they went that deep. Somebody need to tell me the truth. They need to tell me the truth the first time I used. I ain't one of them addicts talking about it was fun. It was never fun. I just was caught up. I was looking for a way out. I don't know about nobody else. And I thought I found it in drugs. I'm so glad it was only a thought. It wasn't a reality. Because, look, for a long time, you could not have told me. They literally pulled one of my teeth to make me realize that I didn't really find it. For years, I be around here talking about if I can use and not get what goes along with it. That's bull. If you use what goes along with it, ain't the problem. The problem for this, that is, once I get to the table, I'm putting some poison in my body that could kill me. That was the problem, that I'm destroying my greatest gift. So I get to Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm talking about something. I always talk, I want to welcome you, newcomer. I just wish I could go through this room and hug every last one, because you're going to suffer. You're going to go through something to get this thing, because see, something about pain. It's almost like having a baby. You know, what can I do? Talk about the conceiving process. See, a lot of times they say that men don't know nothing about having a baby. If you came out of an active addiction, and you've been in here, you've been through conceiving process. You had to push. They say push. Pray until something happens. Yeah, you had to push. Because the lynch is saying, what can I do? And when I can conceive in my innermost self, that I was an addict with the disease of addiction. Then in the self-accepting path, and you know what it say? I can't even be human until I accept this disease and all that come along with it. Well, damn. I can't be human. So I needed to find out what I was suffering with. I don't know about nobody else. I thank God for the gift of sponsorship. I'm trying to tell you, man, if you ain't got one, do yourself a favor and get one immediately. For real, for real. I thank God, my sponsor, I looked up in the dictionary, you know, because for a long time, I used to say, you know, I suffer from the disease of addiction and didn't even know what it meant. So in the dictionary, a disease is anything that interferes with normal living. And then, you know, they try to play like the literature talk about the disease of addiction. They didn't know the name for it. They call it the same something. Stop lying. It's under the disease of addiction. A disease of addiction is obsession and compulsion in any area of my life. That's why I'm still recovering, because I can get obsessed and compulsive right now. Yeah, that's why I got people in my life so they can keep an eye on me, because by myself, I still will self-destruct. And I ain't struck that. I'm sorry. I don't got no time to be acting cute. I'm serious. Not the disease I suffer from. Interferes with normal living. Obsession and compulsion. Put them two words together. Lord, I'm sick. I want to say this too. Yeah, I had to get through, and it was painful accepting the truth about me. It was painful because I was in big time denial. Denial, I was in a relationship with denial. And I wasn't letting her go easy. Because it asked me to suffer more pain. How do I know? Because the first step say, at this point, we begin to feel the pain of withdrawal and nothing to replace it. The second step say, that pain forces me to seek a power greater than myself. That was set. And I don't know what y'all was experiencing. Y'all asked me to share my experience. I'm sharing my, it tore the fur off me. What? Look, I'm an addict. I got a disease. I'm insane. All this happened in the first step. Then I got to, because people be talking about how great their first three steps is. I don't know what steps they working. Because mine wasn't that great, my first hit. They stripped me. It was a demolition process, like an explosion. I was like, what the? Give me something. No, then I got to the second step and said, I ain't got no faith in no sanity. Dad, I ain't even got God neither. What? Because you know how we is. We got to have hold on to something so we can act like we got something. And so we really don't got nothing. But I learned in Narcotics, you got to complete defeat in order to get something. So if I had to admit that, because my spouse, I was so religious because I came from a religious background, child. My dad is the bishop and my mom the first lady. And you know the word was on me. You know how we do. So when I got clean, I had to put that suit back on because I just had to hold on to something, right? So my sponsor said, if you know God, why you got to come to believe? I said, I struggle with admitting that I ain't no God. Because you had already, look, I'm an addict. I got the disease. I'm talking about the pain of accepting the truth about you. No, you can't. If you can't, because they say the pain is a gift. If you can't accept the truth, you ain't going to get the freedom. You know what I mean? Because we think drugs tore the fur off of us. Oh. Stay here. You're in for a rude awakening. Drugs only a symptom. That's only 10%. There's a whole 90% that will become recognizable. Yeah. And you're going to want to do something about it if you stay here. Because I'm going to tell you, it's impossible to stay in this program and stay in that state. I think whoever designed this 12-step state was, I'm telling you, it had to be God-inspired. Had to be. There's no way in the world that they could have knew that I needed to accept the pain. I need to go through. See, because one of the things that I hear a lot of addicts say, and I know ain't the truth, that we got a high tolerance of pain. No, we don't. We cowards. A lot of us go back to using because we don't want to suffer the pain. Or a lot of us will pick somebody. Come on, we'll pick somebody else up not to suffer the pain. Using is using. I don't care how you put a frame on it. So I learned in Narcotics Anonymous that I need to suffer. Ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of suffering. They can say what they want to say. Especially when you know what come after it. After every storm comes some sunshine. Look, look, look. Ain't nothing like getting that thing under arrest. So I can say what y'all want to say. First step, talking about release from my chain. Ching, ching. Yeah. That, look, that day, I can just stay right there for 10 minutes and just cry. I didn't even know I had chains. Thought I had a drug problem. Keisha, I thought I had a drug problem. Know what I really had? A disease. And I'm going to tell you this, baby. Look, you have a disease. You're not a disease. Don't let these people tell you you're a disease. You ain't no damn disease. You just suffer from one. But guess what? We found a way out. And you listen, listen, listen. We sick people, Keisha, but we ain't bad people. And it's hope for us. It's hope for us. Listen, I don't know about nobody else. I'm just here to let somebody know that we have found a way out. I'm telling you, it was proven. It worked right in the steps. It set me up so good that listen, I got so in touch with how destructive my will and my life is, I had got a privilege that I had never had. I had got a privilege when I admit that I didn't have God. Andrew, well, I don't know what to call you. I'm so used to calling you Talib. Listen, listen. When I admitted that I didn't have whatever God, it opened the door up to one. And when that opening came for me, through my own admissions, because one thing I love about the God that I found in the program in Archives of Anonymous, he don't leave me hanging by myself. I got there, and he said, baby, I know you can't handle it. Give it to me for a little while. So I gave it to him. And through giving it to him, he gave me enough courage. He gave me enough faith. He gave me enough trust to go in and do a fourth and fifth step. I'm telling you, it was the best thing I ever done for myself. Found out who I invented. I be calling somebody, they fake, they phony. I was about the fakest, phoniest thing that you could ever see. I didn't even know who I was. Perpetrating a fraud. Still, some days, I got a watch going back to that girl. That girl be like, because that girl makes me believe that she protected me when she was killing me. That girl made me believe that if I just, handle it, I got it. And I know that the moment the control suggested, I'm out of control. I'm talking about the beauty of what this program has given. I got something to work with now. So now I'm looking at who I invented, and I'm striving to become who I am. One of another greatest gifts. I finally was able to get the thing in order. I'm talking about this was my joy. I don't know about nobody else's joy. You know, just the way the drugs cloud you and prevent you from having a relationship with God, so did my defects. You got these people, I sponsor some people. They tell me, I don't want to let them go. Is you out your mind? Them things cause you pain and misery. Them two words together is scary for the recovering addict. Pain and misery is stuff that I use dope over. I don't want to live in that atmosphere no longer or too long. Because I'm not a perfect recovering addict. I just know I'm perfectly recovering. Say what they want to say. I don't be claiming all that dumb stuff. Listen, I don't need nothing cloud my vision like the smoke did. Because my unwillingness to stop. People be around this program talking about my disease made me. Your disease ain't make you do nothing. It's you. Flat book talks about under the disease of addiction, it's not drugs that make you addict. It's not even your behaviors. You got the ability to stop anytime you want to. Your behaviors. They should never told me that. You mean I can say no? Yeah, you can say no, Lester. So I be saying no in a lot of areas. No. See, I learned that when I allowed the God of my understanding, I might still have the desire, Thomas, but he put a no in my spirit. I'm struggling with that right now. Right now. The joy of living this program, because every year my anniversary come, or every year my birthday come, you do something outside, you buy something fancy, you just get too much stuff, so you got to stop doing that. So now you got to do something for you. So this birthday, my 20th birthday clean, oh, that is a miracle. I'm suffering the pain of withdrawal right now, Thomas. No sugar and flour for 18 days in a row.
All right, girl.
Yeah. That's the thing. That thing feel like when you stop using dope. Because you know how you take care of everybody outside of you, but don't take care of yourself. Don't go to the doctor and get checkups. Not me. I ain't playing them games. Listen, I just started living. See, when I talk about, I'm talking about the joy. Because, you know, other people's joy might be stuff outside of them. My joy is the God that I found through the 12-step process. That's my joy. He is my joy. And listen, I got something on the inside that sometimes is very unexplainable. I don't know. See, I don't have words to explain the relationship that I have found through the 12-step process. One thing that relationship has done is taught me to love me more than anything else. Because if I take care of me, he can stay in me. Because he can't dwell in no unclean house. So what he did through the 12-step process is cleaned up, not just clean me on the outside. Because I'm going to tell you something, you get no cleaner than your first day, you just get clean days. The 12-step, because it's nice to be clean, but it's better to be recovering. The liturgy said we are not striving for mere accidents. We're striving for recovery from the disease of addiction. They say if you're recovering, you're working steps. If you ain't recovering, you ain't working no steps. You can be just clean if you want to. I'm going to tell you that, look, this is my shout out, and you in danger. And guess what? It only takes one day to get back on track. You want some of the joy that we're going to share about at this convention? You want to be free? You want to be released from your chains? You better get the stuffing. Must be up here fronting. It's a 12-step program. The lyrics just say in the introduction that the solution is spiritual in nature. I don't hear too many people talking about the spirit. See, something happened through that process. I'm trying to get there because if I don't get there, I'm not going to get there. You know what I mean? Something happened through that process when I was admitting defeat. You know what I mean? I was being empowered with something. I was getting some spiritual tools because I'm fighting an invisible disease. You know, that thing was punching me in the head, knocking me out. I had no weapons. Let them come for me now. I got some forms, like some acceptance. Look, I got surrender. It's the key. Yeah. They think that don't mean nothing. But an addict, a recovering addict, empowered with the spiritual principles, which is God's law, anything is possible. And I'm empowered. And I watch the power that I have. Look, they know me. I don't play that junk. I watch my sinner. Look, you want to be acting stupid? Bye. See you later. That's my first step. Step off. Look, I ain't going to be arguing with nobody. Look, sometimes we have fun. I like to live and love and laugh. I'm talking about real joy. All that old dumb stuff. Ain't nobody got time to be coming in here acting like I acted on the street. We do recover. By, you know, evidence to the contrary, that people with time don't be hating, get even. Be hating on the old timers. Listen. Yeah, I respect my predecessors. Ain't nothing wrong with being a successor. That's equal term. I'm a successor. I'm all right with that. And I'm some people's predecessor. I'm all right. That's joy. See, I don't know about nobody else. I've been given something. You know what, Keisha? I'm just a recipient of the most powerful gift that any human being can get. And I'm just here to let you know, I don't care if nobody else in this room don't know, that we have found a way out, that the dilemma that you was in, you can step out, get a sponsor, get this literature, and get the stepping. Don't listen to them people talking about stay king for a year. They out their damn mind. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. It might be the dope fiend that do that. Because, you know, dope fiends do stuff slow. Look, people who smoke crack, they do stuff fast. We ain't got time to be playing like that. Nope. We ain't got time. We don't got no. We don't be playing like that. Listen, because when you smoke crack, you will disintegrate. Yeah. Mm-mm. The head. Listen, your head busting, your heart jumping out your chest. I don't think so. Listen, I don't know about nobody else. I don't want to die. The joy that I have as a result of being in this program is indescribable. I've been thinking about it all day. So, you know, I've been crying all day. I am so eternally grateful for what this program and you people have given me and how y'all helped me guard it. I understand that I only keep what I have only with vigilance. I know my freedom for me come through the 12 step, but freedom from the individual come from the group. I understand that I'm a lifer. I understand that I'm sold out. I understand I got to keep improving. Yeah, with 18 days clean, I guess I think I need to get a cake change. Say what you want to say. Yes, but if I don't take care of me, after doing all the self-mutilation and all the self-hatred and all the self-hurt, if I don't take care of me, ain't nobody going to take care of me. I cannot expect somebody to love me if I don't love myself. So I'm loving me. That's joy for me. Look, joy is loving me and not hurting my most greatest gift. How much time do you know that life is meaningless without me? I had no idea that life was meaningless without me. I just want to thank you. You see your predecessor in the hallway? Do me a favor. Reach back and say thank you. For real. Must be running us out of here because we don't want to do drama no more. We just want to live in the goodness of God and all that he has done for us. We ain't got time. You make us want to leave. But guess what? Our reality, we can't. We all in this thing together. And it's a wonderful thing to be in. I don't know. I'm so loud. I'm staying, Thomas. Because the way I'm sharing today, when my son get here, I need you to touch his heart. Because I know he's going to get here. He was here. He wasn't as fortunate as I was. You know what I mean? He didn't believe that it was hope for him. You don't know how much your daughter is really showing me some hope. Because I know there's one day the same vision I'm watching right here is the vision that God is going to give me. I got a son in active addiction, Keisha. Serving time in jail because he don't want to adhere to the wonderful program of Narcotics Anonymous. See, I wasn't one of them nice kind of parents like some of these people pleasers up in here. My son was in treatment at 13 years old. I'm in recovery. You in recovery. He was clean a year. He was clean 2 years. Then about two years ago, he came into the program on his own. But he just ain't want to stay. Now he in jail. And all I can do, Thomas, is allow him his process like my mother and father allow me mine. It doesn't make me a bad parent because they get here. Because my reality is this. Between 1 and 7, them was my most informative years. I didn't get it. So I understand if I didn't get it, how could I give it to my children? So I got to be here to keep the door open and pass the torch for when my kids get here. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. You know how we addicts are. He's serious about that name. Man. He ain't playing. Don't mess it up. I'm introduced to the second speaker, man, for Joy and Pain, and that's Mr. Melvin L. Oh, big dude, too. You didn't find my name, Melvin. I'm an addict. Clean today only through God's amazing grace. I need to always thank God for sponsorship and thank God for the fellowship as well as the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Would you join me in a moment of silence so I can ask God to continue to direct my life? Thank you. Once again, family, my name is Melvin. I'm an addict.
Amen.
Clean today only through God's amazing grace. I need to always thank God for sponsorship and thank God for the fellowship as well as the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Whenever I'm asked to speak, I always read the last paragraph of Tradition 5. It says, what is our message? The message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry a message to the addict who still suffer, because that's all we had to give. On page 20, when it talks about step one, it says, our inability to control our use of drugs is a symptom of the disease of addiction. We are powerless not only over drugs, but over our addiction as well. We need to admit this fact in order to recover. Addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that affects every area of our lives. What is our message? The message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, physical, lose the desire to use, which is mental, and find a new way to live, which is spiritual. Man, listen. First they told me, because I said Ocean City, right? And they said that was wrong. So I want to thank you. The Chesapeake and Potomac Regional Convention of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? I just want to get it right. And I want to thank God, man, because listen, man, I got some people in here, man, that love me. And that's what gives me joy, man, to meet the people I done met on this journey, man, and to know somebody really loves you, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I heard for so long, you understand what I'm saying, Jim? I heard for so long that people say, and you still hear it. They say, what was wrong with me? I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Ain't no such thing. You understand? Love is too powerful to be in the wrong place. You understand? But I know I can go about looking for love wrong. That's what I was doing. Love is too powerful emotion to be in the wrong place. Because if love wasn't here when I got here, I wouldn't be clean today. Not with the attitude I come in here with. You understand? Because we're talking about joy and pain. You understand? And we're going to talk about how you get to joy and pain. Let me tell you what's happening. Whenever I speak, I always get definitions. I write down definitions, and I do that for the newcomer. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the most important person. You understand? But listen, don't get it twisted. Don't meet a newcomer more important than me. You understand? Because I'm just telling you the truth. You ain't more important than me to me. But the reason that the newcomer is the most important person at any meeting, you understand? Because you put others in position to do God's will, and ain't nothing more important than that. You understand? So look, Keisha, this is for you. I'm telling you, this is for you. This is dedicated to you. Somebody did this for me. You understand? And I felt like when somebody did that for me, you understand what I'm saying, Thomas? It made me feel like somebody. That's why I was using, because I didn't feel like nobody. You understand? That's why, look, when you come in here, you see people that got cars and jewelry, they got money, and all that. Oh, you think you're something? Sure do, man. Where I come from? What you telling me? Huh? God wants you to have things. God just don't want things to have you. We're supposed to prosper in here. People come in here uneducated, got master's degrees. What I'm supposed to do, you understand me, the pain of staying a dummy? When you telling me it's some joy in getting an education and bettering myself? What you want me to do, stay in a condemned building? You understand the pain of staying in a condemned building when you're telling me about the joy of having my own property? Something else I don't believe in here, telling people you're a dressed up garbage can. No, you ain't. You're a blessed child of God, man. You're just as important in his eyes as I am. If that's how you got to dress today to get through the day, then God bless you. You understand? See, we so fast to criticize and talk about and discourage each other. This is about uplifting, encouraging, and making a person feel better. I ain't one of them people talking about I'm still sick. Because this is about getting better one day at a time. She talking about she got 20 years. Thomas got over 20 years. Andre got around 20 years. You understand? Or 20 years, probably not. I don't want no trouble. And look, you understand? Now, what if they were still sick? All two sick people can do is get sicker. It's about getting better one day at a time, man. We're talking about joy and pain. Let me tell you how you get to joy and pain. Check this out. Now, I want to hurry up and get past. I got some friends in here, like Thomas P. You understand? Andre. You understand? Speak up. Audie. Yo, Chuck. Sing Chu. You know what I'm saying? Dennis. April. Greg. Carla. You know what I'm saying? Easy in here? Yeah, easy. You know what I'm talking about? Audie. But if I don't call your name, you understand, Tim, Rodney, it ain't, look, it's just so many of us, and the point I'm trying to get across, man, is listen, when I come in here with my attitude, Holly, they told me I wasn't going to be here 30 days. You understand? Through God's grace and his mercy, man, I've been here a little over 13 years. You understand? I don't use profanity. You understand? Now, people get it twisted when I say I don't use profanity. I didn't say you got to stop. I said I had to stop. That's an accomplishment for me, man. You understand? Because let me tell you something. Let me tell you the reason I don't, man. I had a sponsor tell me, man, I speak through God's grace and mercy. I've been blessed to do a little traveling and do a little speaking, man. What if a newcomer take the tape, this tape, right out of this workshop, man, and say, Mom, I've been or Dad, I've been to a convention. Say, I want you to hear this. And then they put the tape in. And I'm saying, and the mother and your God, you better believe this son of a... Oh, no, baby, cut that off. No. That's what you're learning over there? They sound worse than when you was when you went. You understand? What if you cut it on Jimmy and your daughter here? You understand? What if your daughter's got to listen to that? And then you hear people say this, well, you shouldn't bring your kids to the meeting. Why not? If it's an open meeting, I should better bring my mama, my grandmama, anybody. When they see us, they ought to see a difference. Because we're a special group of people, man. Do you know, look, we the one changed the headlines. What if everybody here took a pull? They ain't got enough police in Ocean City. We'll change the course of Maryland. You understand me today? So we're a special group of people, man. You understand? My sponsor said I come in here with three things, man. A bad case of untreated addiction, unaddressed character defect, and unresolved issues. Now, untreated addiction, man, addiction is defined by obsession and compulsion. Unaddressed character defects, the behavior I learned before I started using, and the behavior that using enhanced. See, using didn't make me a thief. I was stealing on before I touched crack. The only difference between before I started using and when I started using, before I started using, it mattered who I stole from. Once I started using, I didn't care. Then you have people tell me, Thomas, well, you know what? I know what untreated addiction is, and I know about unaddressed character defect, but what is unresolved issues? Everybody in here that's got a child, stand up. If you got a child, stand up. Now, if you ain't with the person that you had the child with, sit down. Them unresolved issues. So when I came in here, I'm telling you, Andre, when I come in here, I had to deal with the untreated addiction, the unaddressed character defects, and the unresolved issues. Now, check this out. Look, Dennis, every time I got a bag, how you think I got a woman? How come you think every time I got a bag, I got a woman? Well, somebody say, oh, because she wanted a hit like you did. Oh, she wanted some, same thing you wanted. It's way bigger than that. See, the reason when I got a bag, I got a woman, she didn't care how I look, I didn't care how she looked. Check it out, CNQ. She didn't care how I smell, I didn't care how she smelled. She didn't care what I did, I didn't care what she did. Want me to tell you why? It wasn't even about to hit. We had the same value system. And if my value system don't change, I look for the same thing in Narcotics Anonymous. See, if your value system don't change, you're going to stay in a life of pain. Because the joy comes from, look, if you go around this room with this microphone right now and ask everybody in here, would you rather be happy or would you rather be sad? Everybody in here naturally would like to be happy. But joy comes from happiness. But what happens in the room, the Narcotics Anonymous, when you don't get a sponsor and don't make a beginning on the steps, you understand? You do a lot of things because, look, it's natural for us to avoid pain. We avoid the thing that hurt us or give us pain. We automatically gravitate what makes us happy, give us joy, or give us pleasure. that's what the definition of joy is. Check it out. Joy, great pleasure or happiness. The expression or display of this emotion. You know, like when somebody say, I got 5'8". Hey! A great display. Because we happy for you. You understand? Then they say, check it, a source or object of pleasure or satisfaction. That's right. You understand? That's right. Now, what do you mean, a source of object or pleasure or satisfaction? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. My rent is due. But rather than pay my rent, I know I'm coming to the convention in Ocean City, so I buy me an outfit. Then when I come to the convention, y'all tell me, ooh, Melvin, that's a nice outfit you got on. I get pleasure from the satisfaction that you done gave me some attention. But the pain is when I go back home, I ain't paid my rent. So I look up the word pleasure. Pleasure say to go in search of pleasure or enjoyment. Just like the fourth step, made a searching and fill a small inventory. So that means you're going looking for something. You understand? Now, I know some people ain't gonna like this, but listen, one of the things that I do, I had the courage to talk about the truth. Why do you think in here and in every meeting, you just check it out before you leave this convention, why do you think people don't put their phone on vibrate? And then some people in here really do have some business. But why do you think most of us don't put the phone on vibrate? Because we want some self-seeking attention. You understand? And you seek attention two ways, conscious or unconscious. Well, explain that. Okay, I will. Consciously, you seek the attention when you put the suit on. You understand? And knowing when I come, somebody going to give me some attention because they're going to tell me how nice it is. You understand? So then, what I do now is, when I leave, my rent ain't important. Because I got to find me ways and means to give me another outfit. Because I'm seeking approval. So unconsciously, I know that my rent is due. And I know these people going to put me out, give me a 5-day notice. But I'm ignoring that because what means more to me right now is the attention that I'm seeking from y'all. See, when you don't work the steps, man, let me tell you something. When you don't work the steps, man, the untreated addiction, the unaddressed character defect, and the unresolved issues are going to always have you looking for attention and approval. See, when they talk about the results of the steps as happy, joyous, and free, see, I'm happy today, man, that your opinion ain't my reality. The joy in knowing that ain't what you think of me is what I think of myself. And I'm free, man. I'm free to be me. I'm free to be whoever I am, man. And look, see, I don't believe this, man. They say this in here. People that judge don't matter. People matter, don't judge. Even if people judge matter too, man. Look what it says in here. Check this out. I'm going to read two things. Words high and wide, I'm going to read 61, and then I'm going to read another page. Check this out. Look what it says. It says, when we are confronted with our defects, character defects, either by our own insight or by someone else, we have hurt, we begin to take complete responsibility for our action. We don't avoid responsibility by saying something like, well, God hasn't removed that defect yet, or I'm powerless over my defect, and that's just the way I'm going to be. We accept responsibility for our behavior, good, bad, or indifferent. We no longer have our drug use or our ignorance as an excuse to be irresponsible. Like the people that, you know I did, you know I'm an addict. But what kind of addict are you? You know I'm still sick. Well, you're dangerous. Yeah, you still sick after being here. Why, you're dangerous, not only to yourself, but to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Now, wait a minute. It says that, I'm saying, check it out. This ain't something I come up with. We gain more tolerance for the defects of those around us as we work this step. When we see someone acting out on a defect that we have acted on ourselves, Check it out. When we see someone acting out on a defect that we have acted out on ourselves, we feel compassionate rather than judgmental. For we know just exactly how much pain such behavior caused. Rather than condemning the behavior of another, we look at ourselves. Having experienced and accepting ourselves, we can extend compassion and tolerance to others. You understand what I'm saying? So that means that, look, I don't talk about people no more, man, but I used to. You understand? But let me tell you something, man. I'm talking about humility. Talking about, they say humility is important to recovery. Food and water is the life, man. Check this out. Have you ever talked about somebody and then see how you feel when you go hug them? And just got through talking about him, and then you go hug him. Man, I didn't like that feeling, man. That was too much pain for me. You understand? And look, see, we had a newcomer so confused. We tell the new people, see, when he talks about being restored, came to believe in a power greater than ourselves, man. We talking about being restored back to sanity. That don't mean when you get your jewelry, the clothes, and the little house, man. Because what they talking about being restored to, you can't see. That's why when she said it's a spiritual program and the solution is spiritual in nature. See, the reason, man, when everything else was gone, man, the reason I was for sale, or sometimes I wasn't, I just gave myself. The reason I did it and everything, man, because I had lost my self-respect. Once you lose your self-respect, you don't have no morals, no principles, or no values. And once you don't have no morals, principles, or no values, you'll do anything. Should I say it, Thomas? Should I say it? Okay. It's some people here right now. I'm telling you now. It's some people right here now sharing themselves with somebody. He got you for the weekend, but he going home to who he live with. Or she got you for the weekend. You understand what I'm saying? And he going home, yeah, to who he live with. You know why? Because you don't feel worthy. I'm talking about because, man, you ain't changed your value system. You don't feel worthy of having somebody to yourself. So you think that it's all right. You understand what I'm saying? But listen, he ain't misusing you or she ain't misusing you. You misusing yourself. Because listen, you're the greatest thing that God created. Why you don't think he would allow you to create some greatness in your life? I'm telling you something. Listen here. Look, once you change your value system, your pain turns to joy. But if you don't change your value system, you keep wondering why things keep happening to you. You understand? But they ain't happening to you. They're happening for you. You just ain't came to believe, because insanity is the inability to see the truth. Sanity is the ability to see the truth. The only way things change, you might think I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. You understand? I had to change my value system for things to change in my life, man. I had to know, start knowing that I was worthy. You understand? Because I thought the drive-bys was cool until I got home and got with myself and seen how bad I felt. And then you hear people say this, well, you know what, Thomas? I felt worse than you. No, I ain't never felt that bad. I done felt bad in here, but I ain't never felt that bad. I'm telling you, active addiction did something to me. You understand? I'm telling you, look, I was so funky, I had my own flies. Listen, I don't never want to go through that no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about living in a condemned building, man. I'm talking about disease of addiction, man, told me a condemned building was all right, man. I'm talking about being dirty, nasty, greasy, and funky every day, man. I'm talking about having money in my pocket, man, and couldn't buy food. I'm talking about having money in my pocket, man, and eating out the garbage. You understand? See, I'm telling you something, man. Once you stop using, it's some work you got to do, man. Because the guilt, the shame, and the remorse, and the pain will send you back out there. And you hear people here talking about you got to go through what you got to go through. No, you don't. You got a whole room full of experience. And that means you have a choice. But you ever notice when people hurting what they'll say? What they'll say, thank you. Well, you know she left me. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody ain't going to get their turn. But what it is, I think when I sit down and talk to Thomas, he don't understand me. So I want some tragedy to happen to him. or I want some tragedy to happen, you understand, for Andre. Then when Andre come and tell me, he said, man, you know, I had a car accident, man, and I barely got out of there alive. I barely got out alive, man. Instead of me being concerned about his welfare, because if you love somebody, that means you show genuine concern and compassion. You know what I say? Now you know how I felt, remember? Because we believe more in what we see than what we hear. Why do you think they give us the readings every time we go to the meeting? Here we go, Denny. I want everybody to do their hands just like this. Everybody, do your hands just like this. All right? Now take your hand and do it like this. Now take your hand and do exactly what I asked you to do with it, okay? You ready? Yeah. Take your hand right now and put it on your chin. See, if you were listening, your chin is down here. So this is why it's so hard, you understand, for us to grasp the spiritual program. You understand? It's so hard for us to grasp the spiritual program because it's hard for us to see it. It's spiritual. It's in spirit form. You understand? But we gravitate more to what we see, man. We more alike than different. You understand? So we go through this spiritual journey, man. And we have to find, look, you can't go to the doctor and say, well, you know something? I went to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and they talked about me so bad, I'm suffering from low self-esteem. Do you have anything I can take? They don't have nothing for low self-esteem. They're going to diagnose you, you're depressed, bipolar, because they're in the business of selling medication. You're the only one can increase and decrease your own self-esteem. You have to do esteemable things, like changing your underwear. See, some people might laugh, man. Let me tell you something. When I put on my first pair of clean underwear in the shelter in 1994, I was crying. I sat down, man, and holding on to them underwear and was crying, man, because it had been so long since I had a clean pair of underwear. I'm talking about wearing your underwear, man. See, look, let me tell you something. See, we be talking about when we come in here, everybody knew I had a problem but me. No, no, no. How you living in a condemned building, eating out the garbage and funky every day and don't know you got a problem? I didn't know what to do about it, but I knew I had it. I'm talking about looking at your underwear, man. They so brown, you understand me, and so hard till they dry rot. You understand what I'm saying? And you too ashamed to even touch them again. That's what I'm talking about, man. And then you got people here talking about, well, if you don't remember your last high, you probably ain't had it. It ain't even important to me. What I better remember is God's mercy and his grace. He let me survive it. That's what's important to me. That God let me survive it long enough to get to the room, the Narcotics Anonymous. Then you got people around here talking about, well, you know, I don't make them in me no more. You know, I don't do this, you know, because I got a life. Let me tell you something. Narcotics Anonymous ain't my whole life, but it gave me a life that's truly whole. You understand? I'm talking about anything that I am today is a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about because of you people. You know what I mean? And see, I know people in here going to talk. Because you know when you first come in, because look, I was on American Most Wanted, Dennis know it, American Most Wanted, Chicago Most Wanted. I'm talking about come from the real game bangers. You know what I mean? I carried weapons in here for 2 years when I first got here. I might have been funky, but I had a weapon. You understand? But I'm telling you, a sponsor told me, he said, listen, he said, I can't sponsor you no more. I said, why? He said, because your higher power in your waist. He said, you're confused about a higher power. He said, as long as you can that, I can't do nothing for you. He said, now you got to find out who your real higher power is, where your real source of strength coming from. He said, you're doing that out of fear. He said, what is you scared of? And I'm still foggy, you know what I'm saying? A lot of rumbling up there. You know, and I call him a derogatory name, you know, the N-word. But you talking about, I ain't scared of nobody. You mean you want me to show you? He said, Melvin, if you do anything in here inappropriate, I'm calling the police. My whole family is on alert when you come here. Because look, I'm telling you how important the steps is. You're laughing. Easy. I used to walk around the man's house. You know, we had a session, we had a book, listen to the tape. And I said, you know what? I said, I think your family be watching me. I said, look, when I go to the bathroom, I said, look, I get to my mood. Your daughter, your son, somebody watching me. He said, they is. He said, until you make a decision, I don't know what decision you done made when you come in my house. You understand? But I'm telling you how important the steps is, man. I'm talking about my mother passed in 2004. Through the grace and mercy of God, man, my mother seen me clean 10 and a half years. Let me show you what the steps, man, the loving God will do. When I first used to go to my mama's building, the lady called, she said, if God out here, say he your son, say he got something for you. She said, tell him to send it up. And I would leave there crying. You know what I'm saying? And I would go back, man, and, pardon me, you can't talk to people in pain about pain. You understand? And I can't talk to nobody about how I was hurting about my mother. I went back again. She says, got out here again. Say, he's your son. She said, got something for you. She said, tell him to leave it. A couple more months later, I went back. Lady says, got out here. He says, your son. He said, got something for you again. She said, tell him to leave it. I called my family, tell them about it. He said, well, you know how you know what you did, know what you did, know what you did, know what you did. The fourth time I went back, she says, got out here again. He says, your son. He said, got something for you. She said, tell him to bring it up. See? And me and my mama, we talked about everything, man. See, what you got to look at is this, man. We talking about joy and pain. You know, when you get clean, you go back in the house, you be telling your kid, I'm back. They say, back from where? You ain't never been here.
That's the riddle, dude. Back?
So, you know, we got steps 4 through 9. We got a sponsor. I got all you loving people. But your children need a way to heal. They went through the pain with you. Your child can't be in the second or third grade and just walk up and say, come on out there at recess time, man. I want to share with you. You know what I'm saying? Going through some pain about my mama using. You understand what I'm talking about? They need a way to heal, Andre. They ain't got no fourth step. You know what I'm talking about? They need a way to heal. They need a way to deal with their pain. They need somebody to vent to. They need somebody to talk to. They need a way back to Joy Avenue. Yeah, that's right. You understand? So you got to help nurse and develop their spiritual growth. You got to spend some time with them. That's why you call them a bunch of them little funny names and beating on them. Because you ain't spend no quality time with them. You understand? And you done lost your social and parenting skills. You got to reinstitute and reintroduce yourself to that. And you got to have some patience and tolerance for them. And trust me, if you respect and love them, then out of respect, they'll love you. You understand? My son will be 9 next month, May the 7th. Never heard me use profanity. Never put my hands on him. Because my father beat me with iron and cord sticks and bats. But I done broke the cycle, man. You understand? Because God done put everything in me to deal with my son without me beating him, you understand me, or hitting him with some type of object. Right. I sit him down and take the things away from him that he loved, an Xbox, and they got toys, I don't even know, PlayStation 2, 339, whatever it is, but I take it. Okay, you understand? And his mama say, no, he gonna face the wall. I say, no, he ain't finna face the wall. He can't learn nothing from no wall. I said, I'm gonna give him a book. And when he was 3, I said, you read 3-year-old literature. I don't give him something to 8th grade. Little old Dick and Jane. When you learn them 2 lines, you get your stuff back. And that's what he did, man. Now my son get A's and B's. He a tall fella, man. I'm talking about he's scoring more points. They got a little basketball team than anybody on the team. And just by y'all showing me how being a parent, man, and doing the work, you understand what I'm talking about? I'm finna get custody of my son. You know what I'm saying? I had custody until he got about 5 or 6. His mama had him. Now I'm finna get him back. You know what I mean? And let me ask you a question. Even though you're running around here, you're enjoying yourself, and you're doing these things, you understand? Are you prepared, or are you in shape, or are you ready if you have to get custody of your kids? Yeah. Or if your kids sent back to you, are you prepared? Are you in a position to take care of them? You understand? I got a good woman in my life, man. I'm telling you, I look, Thomas, real good. But sometimes I don't feel worthy. And I try to do things to sabotage. You understand? Because I'm so used to pain. I know how to wrestle and deal with pain. You understand? I know how to talk to pain. Me and pain real cool. But me and joy like foreigners. You know what I mean? When me and joy talk, I be saying, go, 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 go. Sound like it's talking another language. You know what I mean? So I got to learn the language of joy. But the language of pain, I'm real familiar with. You understand? This is about bettering yourself, man. This is about doing God's will, man. We all great people, man. Ain't no bad people in here. You understand? We just done made some bad decisions that can be corrected. You understand? Let me tell you something, man. You women is the greatest thing on the planet Earth. And let me tell you why. Because anything a man could think about came through you first. Wouldn't even be no Ocean City Convention Center if the thought hadn't came through you first. You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you how important you is. God used you, you understand, for his assistant. That's how important women is. God used you for his assistant. God told my mama, said, look here, Ruby Lamb, I got a spiritual journey for you. I want you to assist me. I want you to birth Melvin Lamb. You understand? He gave my mama that assignment and she fulfilled it. My mama ain't the reason, you understand, I was a dope fiend. I made a bad decision. My mama, it was six of us. Look, let me tell you something. My father passed in 1968. My mama, my hero, Jimmy. My mama took care of six of us. Back, I'm talking about, I don't know what my mama did in the 60s. Take care of six kids, keep clean clothes on, keep a roof over their head, and send them to parochial school. And you know in Calvin School, they charge money. I helped her out, though. I got kicked out. You understand? So I'm telling you something, man. Women's is our hero. Look at the pain you went through when you was using. I'm going to say this in close. Look, when I was using, I could go tell a man I'm short. Either I'm going to get whooped or he tell me go on by my business. But when a woman go, the woman say, well, I ain't got but seven. You know what you got to do. And ain't no telling how long you had to do it or how many people you had to do it with. See, I'm telling you something. You sisters are our heroes. I ain't just talking about no one ethnicity. I don't care what your nationality is. When I say sister, I mean you too. Everybody in here, my sister. You understand what I'm saying? I can't love you like God, but because I got God in my life, I got the capacity to love. And I'm telling you, you're my hero because I know the pain you went through in active addiction because a lot of it, I contribute to it. You understand? So I'm saying for all the men that's in recovery, you understand what I'm saying? We owe you a big apology, and I'm apologizing up here for all of us. You understand? We want you to know that we love you, you understand? And we respect you, and you understand when we don't, that's because we don't know no better. You understand? So always end like this. In this electrifying age, you have men as well as women racing into this life without complete knowledge of where they're going or what the ends will be. When riches seem to be the only pursuit to be obtained anyway and at any cost. When selfishness, avarice, greed, and lust dominates your very being, and when humanity in general loves the mercy of those who have no mercy in them, like practicing addicts, then it is truly wonderful and astounding to see one come into this mad human drama for the sole purpose of saving humanity, losing sight on those things whirling and yielding absolutely to a cause higher than has ever yet been obtained. This is the purpose of Narcotics Anonymous, coming into the dove to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Don't worry about nobody judging you. Don't worry about nobody talking about you. And don't worry about nobody got to say about you. Want me to tell you why? Because the opinion of people can't compare with the power of God. Thanks for letting me share.